Hi, I'm Tori. Our scripture today is James 5, verse 7 to 11 from the New Living Translation. Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. For examples of patience in suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy.
Let's pray. Lord, in these coming moments, I ask that you would help us to hear your voice. And not just hear your voice, but be transformed by your voice. That we would leave here as different people, with different priorities. I ask this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. All right, I want you to take a look at this picture. Take a good, careful look. This was from the Summer Games this last summer. And what you're seeing is the U.S. gymnast, Simone Biles, and Jordan Chiles, silver and bronze medalists in the women's gymnastics floor final, bowing to Rebecca Andrade. I hope I got her name right. Rebecca Andrade. And what would make, do you think, two medal winners bow to someone like that? What do you think would cause them to do that? Well, this is what Simone Biles said. She says, you know, and talking about Rebecca Andrade, she said, she's an icon, a legend herself. So I feel like being recognized is what everybody should do when it comes to somebody who's put in the work, put in the dedication. We are continuing on in our series, Strengthening Church Relationships. And today we're going to look at valuing people, honoring people. Biles and Chiles, name rhymes, I like that, eh? So Biles and Chiles, what they did in that moment was a visual display of the type of things we are called to do each day to our church family. Not for the flash of cameras, but a practice that develops strong and lasting relationships in our church. Now this series is a response to the loneliness epidemic that we all live in. Many of us in this room right now, if we were to be really honest, we'd say we're very lonely. And sometimes we are lonely because we're not following the Bible's instructions on how to have friends. So, we have said before, if you want good friends, be a good friend. So that's what we're going to be looking at again today. What does the Bible say about making relationships that can withstand the tests of time and conflict? If you want stronger, more meaningful, more life-giving relationships, this series is for you. Now, there's four thoughts I want to share with you regarding honoring, and each one of them is really important. Now, why don't we start with what does it mean to honor someone? To honor means to proclaim the high value of another. To proclaim, in other words, you don't just feel it. It's not something you keep to yourself. That's not honoring. And it's you proclaim the high value of another, and you do this in both words and actions. It increases their perceived value. This is different, by the way, from worship. Worship is ultimate value, okay? That belongs to God alone. We're talking about honoring each other. So the first thing we discover in the Bible about honoring people is that honoring takes effort. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. Paul writes to the Romans, he says, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. It this word try stood out to me. Because it's not hope or assume you should build others up. It's try. It's not a suggestion. And it's not for the super mature. This is for all people. All people who follow Jesus. And you can honor people with acts of service. Some of you did this already this morning. You opened the door for people. That's a way to honor them. Some of you might bring another some coffee or help them with yard work or pray with someone. But beyond service, there are words of truth that can build them up. And here's the thing about human beings. Human beings, if you're anything like me, you have leaking security. And that needs to be filled. You have something called imposter syndrome, which means you tell yourself on a regular basis, I'm not good enough. I don't belong. Nobody likes me. I have no business being in this group. Imposters. One of the most common things I have people tell me in all the years I've been a pastor is, I don't know that I really fit in here. Nobody fits in here. We're a bunch of misfits, of course. I've said this before, right? So because we have this imposter syndrome, you can counter it in someone else by honoring them. Because you can tell them words that remind them of God's grace, words of forgiveness, words that reveal their identity as the one Jesus loves or their purpose in life. Look at this wall. Just look at it. Now, for some of you, you got to really twist your head, but this is who you are in Christ. If you have received Christ as your Savior and Lord, this is what the Bible says. This is what God says you are. We need to be reminded of this on a regular basis. And you know why? Because Satan and our sinful nature and our culture doesn't want you to believe any of that. This is really who you are. And we have the opportunity to remind each other of these things. Because Christians who believe these things, they pray passionately with expectation. They are vigorous in listening for God's voice in His Word. They are bold in proclaiming the gospel, and they take it upon themselves to train others in the faith, I should say. They are, in other words, dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. You are, when you honor someone, you are building them up to be dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. So we honor people with words of value, how God sees them. You can talk about the cross and how God has shown His love for them. You can talk about their giftedness, what you see in them. You can honor them with words of belonging. You can say, you are welcome here. You are welcome with me. Invite them to things. And even offer to serve with them. That all says, I see value in you. And we as humans, you know, we have all kinds of ways to honor people. We honor people with toasts, with celebrations, birthdays, anniversaries, milestones. We honor people with gifts and cards. It's a way of us saying, I see incredible value in you. And the energy you decide to spend honors them. It shows that they are worth the effort, that they have something unique to contribute, that they belong. And don't you want to be friends with someone who does that for you? You see, this is so magical, and it's so simple. Honoring takes effort. It takes intentionality. These things don't just happen. You have to think about it. Who am I going to honor? Second thing about honoring is honoring requires awareness. We read this in the book of Galatians. It says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Now we're going to get to it, okay? Pay attention. Here we go. The law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself, but, now here's the but. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. Notice those words. Watch out, be aware. Pay attention to what you are doing. See, honoring people adds value to them. It raises their profile. It's a strengthening agent in the church. And the opposite of addition is subtraction. That's what Paul's talking about. Subtraction. Biting and devouring each other is subtraction. Paul is saying you can actually subtract value from the people in your church. This is the opposite of love. This is the opposite of honor. Author and researcher Adam Grant wrote a book called Give and Take, and he said, according to his studies, human beings can be divided into three categories. And he said, the first category are takers. Takers like to get more than they give. They believe the world is competitive. And to succeed, they must be better than everyone else. To prove their worth, they self-promote and make sure that they get credit. Those are takers. Know any takers? Are you a taker? Boy, really non-committal here, aren't we, this morning? Takers, okay. Of course, if you are a taker, you're not going to probably even necessarily realize you are a taker until someone says, hey, cool it. Right? Takers. Then there are givers. This is a rare breed, according to his research. Very rare. Because these people prefer to give more than they get. They evaluate what they can offer others and pay attention to what others need from them, and they have no expectations of anything in return. Imagine that. And then, after you've got givers and takers, the last one is matchers. Matchers insist on an equal balance of giving and taking. They operate on fairness. When they help, they expect equal value in return. Their relationships are governed by an exchange of favors. Now, to honor consistently, without demand, you have to be a giver. It's not hard to figure out. A taker will want to honor themselves. Matchers will only honor you if you honor them in return. But Paul says if you keep on taking, and the context here is serving, if you keep putting yourself first, if you keep saying, serve me, you will destroy each other. That's what he said. How many churches, I wonder, operate on that level? When people show up on a Sunday morning and they say, boy, who's going to serve me? Who's going to notice me? Who's going to pay attention to me and say hello to me? Who's going to bring me a coffee? He's saying if everyone has that attitude, guess what? The whole church goes down. Right? That was a term I learned in seminary. Now, let me ask you the question. Are you more drawn to givers or takers? It's not a trick question. Givers, right? If you want to have good friends, be a good friend. Be a giver. Honor others. Honoring requires being aware of that give-take-match dynamic. And churches and friendships are destroyed by matchers and takers. Last week, which was sad news for some of us, the Canadian men's Olympic hockey team lost to the Americans. But there was some good news. Connor McDavid from the Canadian team was named the tournament MVP. Well, you don't have to applaud that. I mean, you can if you want. But they asked Sidney Crosby, who was the captain of the team, about Connor McDavid. And this is what Sidney Crosby said about Connor McDavid. He said he was incredible. He said he did everything. He did everything humanly possible to lead us, to come into a tournament like this, best players in the world, and be able to elevate to the level that he was at is unheard of. What's he doing? He's honoring him. He's not coming to the camera and saying, what are you talking about Connor McDavid for? Look at me. I'm the captain of the team. I've been around way longer than Connor McDavid. Pay some attention to me. Where's my credit? Now, you get an idea here that honoring demands an awareness of how we behave towards others. But why wouldn't you want to bite and devour each other? Well, that brings us to point number three. Honoring prompts accountability. This is what was read for us in James. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. It's no surprise to any of you that people grumble. Do they not? We grumble about our government, about our boss, about our working conditions, our neighbors, our gas prices, potholes, taxes, weather, and the list goes on and on. Parents grumble about children, and children grumble about parents. Siblings grumble about each other. Husbands and wives grumble about each other. Church family can even grumble about each other. And here's what we're being told. God hears it all. Every word that comes out of our mouths or doesn't come out of our mouths, God hears every one. And this sin, he says, you will be judged. He does not say you may be judged. You might be judged. There is an accountability for every thought and word that we have when it comes to how we see other people. God hears it all. So James is telling us as a church, put a brake on fault finding. Why? Because there's accountability there. The judge is not far away. He's right at the door. He's arriving sooner than we anticipate. Honoring people means we use our mouths to build others up. To grumble about others is to put them down. It's disgracing them. It's dishonoring them. Strong relationships require a lack of grumbling, even behind closed doors. See, we often think as Christians, people will surely be judged for, well, you know, it's sexual sins, lying, murder, but grumbling? Oh, yeah, grumbling. That's on the list. And why is that? Why is grumbling such a big deal? Simply because it goes right against the character of God. The Trinity is always building each other up. Father, Son, and Spirit. You see this in Scripture. If grumbling is tearing them down, the Trinity is always building each other up. That is the person of God. That is His character. So our accountability to God is to help us think twice before we grumble about others. And this makes for stronger relationships and shuts down slander. The real question to ask ourselves, when we find ourselves grumbling, and we all do, even this cowboy finds himself grumbling at times. The question to ask ourselves is why? Why am I grumbling about this situation or about that person? What am I hoping to accomplish with my grumbling? And often, and I hate this, often the answer is, I just want to establish my own superiority. I want everyone to know I'm so much smarter than that person. I'm so much better. Man, if I was just in charge, oh, things would be so much better. If I could be prime minister for a day, I'd have this country so, oh man, it'd be roses. It'd be great. Sadly, grumbling is often a cry for recognition, worth. But look, James says, the judge is standing at the door. If you are going to be an honoring person, grumbling must disappear from your heart. And we need to refocus on adding value to others. But how? How do we do that? Well, I'm so glad you asked, because that's point number four. Honoring requires transformation. Look at what Paul writes to the Romans. He says this, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. What? And in the English Standard Version, it actually says, outdo one another in showing honor. Take delight. It's commanded. That means we are to be bent towards or bent away from taking and matching. It is commanded. And you can't fake it. It says, your love must be genuine. Get this. God, we are actually being commanded how to feel. What? That doesn't sound right. Excuse me. We're supposed to actually take joy in honoring others. Like, this is supposed to be fun. Well, how is the big question? And that, the answer to that is quite simple. We need to be transformed. It's not something you can fake. It's not something. It's not a program you can just start on your own. Well, I'm just going to start honoring people. Oh, that'll last a week, maybe. You know, one of our values as a church is this: inner transformation over outer management. We recognize that as a church, if we are going to grow to maturity, it's going to be because God is transforming us on the inside. Not because we just know the rules and we follow them. That's not what Christianity has ever been about. Christianity is being changed from the inside out. They are being rebuilt. You know, the Trinity is so good at honoring each other. Do you remember when Jesus was baptized, what did the Father say? This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Jesus said about the Father, I speak only what the Father tells me to say. And then Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, essentially it's going to be so much better for you. What are they doing? They are honoring each other. They're pointing to each other, saying, look at the value over there. And when the Spirit of Christ fills you as a follower of Jesus, he will stir in a desire in you to honor others, to build others up, to avoid being a taker. Grumbling comes off the table. And it requires a daily dependence on his power. Now, your sinful nature, that's the part of us that wants the opposite of what God wants. That sinful nature that Jesus has beaten on the cross, by the way, that sinful nature wants ourselves to be honored. But the Spirit prompts us to honor others. That is why we can read in Scripture, take delight in honoring others. This is going to happen as God transforms you. As you are filled by His Spirit, you will take delight in honoring others. Words of affirmation will flow. You will supernaturally want to honor others. And you won't worry about receiving honor. Do you know why? For one reason. You won't worry about receiving honor because you have already received so much honor from God. Jesus honored each one of us on the cross. He said to the universe on the cross, these people, my people, are worthy of my pain. They are worthy of my disgrace. They are worthy of my helplessness, my spiritual thirst, my humiliation. They are worthy. They are worthy to serve. They are worthy to be adopted into my family, worthy to be welcomed into the kingdom, worthy of my forgiveness, worthy to wait for. No wonder the writer of Psalm 149 said this, let the faithful rejoice that God honors them. Let them sing for joy as they lie in their beds. When's the last time you sang for joy as you laid on your bed? Because God honors you so much. Rejoice. May you be filled with gratitude, with joy, with dancing, with optimism, with hope. And he will honor you so much more in the future. We have no idea. I have no idea. I was thinking about this morning. There is stuff that's coming in our future we can't even wrap our heads around. But God is going to honor us as a kingdom of priests in his kingdom. Wow. This means, by the way, we don't need to go around in our church looking for people to pay attention to us and serve us and honor us, because God has already taken care of more than enough. You can instead be an honor giver. So you'll want to get together with other believers because you have a ministry. Do you ever think of that? Come here on a Sunday morning, you have a ministry. You can honor the people in this room. You can honor them just by going up and shaking their hands and saying, you know what, I see value in you. I'm so glad you're here. You can point out their gifts, their strengths, lift a glass in their name sincerely and often. The lonely often ask, who will honor me? Who will recognize me? Who will call me? Who will prioritize me or visit me or serve me? People with life-giving friendships ask, who can I honor today? Who can I honor in this moment? Who can I honor before I get in my car today? And by the way, it's probably a good place to pause. Don't focus on your pastor. God bless you. I know some of you love to do that, and I do enjoy that. Thank you. But I want you to really think about the people who often get overlooked. You know, the people who are serving behind the scenes or the person who's kind of sitting off by themselves, you can honor them. And I would be so delighted if you did. And God would be so delighted if you did. We are told to put effort into honoring others, to be aware of the dynamic of giving, matching, and taking, to respect the judgment of God by not grumbling, you know, taking away from each other. And then finally, we are commanded to take delight in honoring each other. May we as a church be an honoring church. May each one of us take it upon ourselves to come to as many things that the church is offering, but not just to receive, to minister, to bless others, to honor them, to show them they have value, because they do. Every single one of you has more value than you imagine. And I just want you to know that. So, I want to end with a true story. And this true story comes out of New York. This happened a few years ago. A teacher started this program. Maybe some of you have heard of this. And she handed her students ribbons. It says, who I am makes a difference. And she said, I want you to go out and distribute these ribbons to people that you want to honor. And I want you to pass along a ribbon. I want you to give the first person all three ribbons so they can continue it down the line. They can find someone else to honor. So one of the students took their ribbon to a junior executive in a company. And this junior executive happened to help them with kind of planning out their career after school. And this junior executive got these other two ribbons and thought, who am I going to honor? And he finally determined, I'm going to honor my boss. So he went to his boss, and this boss was known as a grumpy boss. This was not a happy boss, but he had a real ability for being creative. And that's what this junior executive saw. So he went up to his boss, and he said, I want to honor you with this ribbon, because I see in you a creative genius. And I want you to pass this along to someone else to honor. Well, this boss thought long and hard about who he wanted to honor. And he finally thought of his 14-year-old son. And I'm going to read the rest. He sat his son down, and I'm going to read the story to you in their own words. This is the boss talking. He said, the most incredible thing happened to me today. I was in my office, and one of the junior executives came in and told me he admired me and gave me a blue ribbon for being a creative genius. Imagine, he thinks I'm a creative genius. Then he put this blue ribbon that says, who I am makes a difference, on my jacket above my heart. He gave me an extra ribbon and asked me to find somebody else to honor. As I was driving home tonight, I started thinking about whom I would honor with this ribbon, and I thought of you. I wanted to honor you. He said, my days are really hectic, and when I come home, I don't pay a lot of attention to you. Sometimes I scream at you for not getting good enough grades in school or for your bedroom being a mess. But somehow tonight, I just wanted to sit here and, well, just let you know that you do make a difference to me. Besides your mother, you are the most important person in my life. You're a great kid, and I love you. His son began to sob and sob and couldn't stop. His body quaked with emotion. He looked up at his dad and said through his tears, "I was planning on committing suicide tomorrow, Dad, because I didn't think you loved me. And now I don't need to." Never underestimate the power of honoring people. Jesus honored us, and now we can honor each other. And so to our friendship covenant today, we are going to add this. I will choose to honor you everywhere, expecting nothing in return. Because if you want good friends, be a good friend. I'm going to ask my brother Rick to come and close our service for us.
Thank you, Pastor. So who are you going to honor this week? That's your homework. How are you going to honor them this week? What are you going to do? I have a secret. Ask the Holy Spirit and He'll guide you. He will tell you exactly who needs that word, that comfort, that handshake, that text, that phone call this week. Father God, thank you for this wonderful word. Lord, we are so grateful that you honored us with your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that we have a church that brings the worship to you, to honor you. Lord, bless this congregation this week. Show us who you want us to honor. Lead us to that hard-to-love person. Lead us to that youth that we've never spoken with before. Take us to a place we've never been before today so that your name would be glorified. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.